Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. It's me, Helen Thorne.
And it's me, Ellie Gibson.
And I am so excited, Ellie, because we have Tanya Moore on the podcast.
Yeah! Finally!
Not Patrick Moore, not Roger Moore, Tanya Moore.
Come on!
Number one
only
Moore.
More you need.
That's it. Absolutely.
More. How do you like it?
Please tell me that's your walk-on music, Tanya.
It needs to be now. Yeah. I'm going to change it from now on.
Yeah. Because, and I say walk-on music, not because you're a WWE wrestler, although, I know you're a very strong person. Perhaps you do that in your spare time.
She is wearing a lovely matching tracksuit, so she's got a very, athletic...
I showed off for you today, girls.
That looks like a new tracksuit, too.
It is.
Box fresh.
But, only because I bought it ages ago and there's been nowhere to go.
I'm like, I know who will appreciate a tracksuit. You correctly
assume that my house is the right place to wear joggers. The only reason I'm not wearing joggers is because all mine are dirty. They're all covered in wine and brie stains. It's no good. So well done, Tanya. Now, for the listener, who are you, Tanya Moore? Why don't you introduce yourself?
I'm Tanya Moore. Some would call me a stand-up, some an actor, some a host.
Summer host. Putting the hoe in host.
Tanya Moore. I'm very friendly. I write sometimes, and sometimes I annoy people, and that's you literally are just going to have one of those five. That's it.
What a Rolodex of talents, though.
I know, right?
Absolutely. But we met you. Let's make it about us, Tanya. Let's make it about us. We met you through comedy.
Yes.
Of course, because you were there on the fateful night that Helen and I first ever met each other, which was 7.5 years ago.
March 2013.
Wow. I mean, it was a romantic occasion. Can you paint the scene for us, Tanya? Will you describe that scene?
Do you know the part that I remember is when we got onto the train? By this time, we were full of it. And we were loud. Yeah, I remember being really thankful that you went all the way to Forest Hill and I only had one stop without you.
Because the gig was in, do you remember? It was next to the bus.
It was next to the pizza container.
Under
a flyover.
That's right.
And it was hosted by a man, I think you had about 4 teeth, but he lacked in teeth. He made up for an enthusiasm.
Oh my God, yes.
And he filled, what was his name?
Robin?
Yep. And he was amazing. And then it was us and who else was there? A few other comedians.
Yeah.
But there were more comedians
than audience.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Definitely. As was the de rigueur back in the day. So I did 5 minutes. You did 5 minutes, Tanya. And then this, cool lady in a leather jacket wearing a Billy Piper mask. I know. Holding guitar cake.
You made me sound like some sort of weird Brian Adams.
That brought it back to me, actually.
I did. I used to do a bit about, there was a real, and I didn't make it up, there was a letter in The Guardian someone had wrote in saying her boyfriend.
This is some early classic nerdy Ellie Gibson's, like, I've read something in The Guardian, I'm going to make a joke about it.
But it was about this bloke, and the girlfriend had written to The Guardian because the bloke would only have sex with her if she wore a mask of Billy Piper.
Oh my God.
Or I think it was Kimberly from Girls Aloud. And I was like, that's funny, isn't it?
That's not even the same.
I mean, it's...
So just do it from behind. Yeah. And then you can be anyone.
Also, be regular. Put a pillowcase.
But do you especially in these times now, it's hard, you know, we can barely gig at all, never mind shit gigs. Do you ever miss those open mic days? No. Now you're a big deal?
No. Really? I wish I was a big deal, but no, I don't miss open mic gigs at all. I did a couple recently, actually, just to test out new material and stuff. Nightmare. Definitely don't miss it. No.
Oh, and there was Pegasus Comedy. I always liked the ones where they're in such brightly lit room. Everyone was lit, including the audience, which always is great.
Yep.
And they're on an assortment of height of chairs, which I like. No chair the same. That's you don't want that.
Yeah.
You want someone a bit on a stool in the front
and
a lounger
Pegasus
in the back, like a chaise lounge. And and you want a mic that intermittently doesn't work.
Cuts out.
The cord just drops out. Yeah. So
and you want a host and promoter of the gig who's like so nervous he's profusely sweating.
That's exactly
what you need.
Or someone really arrogant who likes to do half their Edinburgh set in the second half while everyone wants to punch him in the face. So I mean, we're painting a lovely picture with our words.
I used to it was a golden age. Did you ever do that gig in Clapham, Tanya, that was run by Dapper Laugh?
Yes. Yeah. I won once.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, well done. He once introduced me to the stage. He'd done a bit. It hadn't gone over very well, as I'm sure you recall. That was not an uncommon occurrence.
I mean.
And then he said, anyway, would you like to see a woman on the stage? Mm. And everyone went, because they're a bit pissed as well, and they're probably expecting some young blonde starlet. And I walk out fucking, hello, I'm a mum of two from Catford.
Don't all get an erection at once. Yeah.
All your dreams come true.
Ta-da! Don't worry, I've got a Billy Piper mask inside. Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, what was
that gig?
Can you remember your worst? What was your worst gig?
I definitely think it was when I had to do a gig in Streatham, and most of the audience were people who I grew up with, and I still died. But I was like about 2 months in. But you know, they say if people know you, they'll understand your humour a little bit more, so it should be a bit easier. Oh my God.
No.
It was so bad. The host came on and was like, that was her first gig. He knew it wasn't. You know it's bad when they come on and start.
Give her a clap for trying.
Yeah. It was so bad. I'll never forget that day, because it's only now that I feel like I'm doing a little bit well that I can look them in the eye again, like, see, I'm here.
Yeah.
I got there. Yeah. I got there
in the end. Like, we made it. It's the gate. It wasn't in vain.
I did a night one August, and not me actually, but it was one of these awful nights. There was hardly anyone there. It was all bad. And another comedian did a bit, and it didn't go over great. And he came off stage, and the MC on stage, and he went, oh, I'm terribly sorry, everyone, but all the good acts are up in Edinburgh, you see.
Are you joking
Seriously?
Me?
And we all just looked at each other like, yeah, so. But those days are gone, Tanya, with the skate. I feel like we're all having flashbacks now. It's like survivors from the Vietnam War. Yeah. Do you remember we were in the tiger cage? In the tiger cage for 7 months, do you remember? But since then, Tanya, so much has happened.
Loads.
Tell us some of the things you've achieved.
Oh, man, I've achieved not punching promoters in the face. That's
good.
Massive.
Yeah,
that's,
well done, because, you.
You know, men are wild in this game. But I've had a lot of success in lay TV world, which has been nice. So I'm the face of Tango.
I know!
Which is really exciting.
And did you do a Maltesers ad as well?
I did do Maltesers as well.
Yes.
And Tesco's.
But I always think, like, but we did the hard yards. And it's really interesting when people sort of only see that small slice of your career and they're going, why is she there? And how did she do that? And all this sort of stuff. And they want to skip. They want to skip the shit gigs. They want to skip you going up and down the M4 or whatever, driving for 15. Oh, my God. Do you remember the time we all did a gig in Brighton and then all the roads were closed and Ellie was trying to drive us? Ellie was trying to drive us back in her Honda.
Oh, my God.
I think I was pregnant.
You were pregnant as well. Oh. And what usually takes, listener, about 90 minutes to get from Brighton took about 3 hours.
Yeah.
But there was just.
And I'm still convinced we passed those people in the park dogging.
I know. I just remember you're in the back going, doggers!
Me going, which exit? Which exit? Shut up! And we were going, like, that's what I'm talking about, which exit? All the exits!
Slow down, Ellie, slow down!
And the entrances!
That was so funny!
We were so
happy with
our normal road.
Doggers roads.
Oh god.
But aren't we lucky that we are in an age like 2020 where we are earning money not just from getting in the car and driving,
yes,
that we're getting digital work, we're getting writing work, yes, and also our talents are appreciated on a multi sort of levels as,
yeah,
well,
yeah.
Like if you think of the sisters who came before us, like we've interviewed people like Jenny Clare on the podcast, yeah, and she was just saying the hard yards that they did for us was really fucking remarkable, and, yeah, like they'd get there and people would say awful things to them on stage. I mean, we've all encountered that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's really fantastic.
That, when we did the Mo documentary the other day for Channel 4, and it was very, you know, black British and funny, just focused around black British comedians, because, you know, Ricky Gervais will continuously try and portray that we're not here, we don't exist. We did the documentary, and it was very, there was a lot of old school people there. And I like having these conversations with them, because you really learn, even though I still struggle with certain things because of my race and all that stuff, I really have it easy. Mm. And I use easy in a very loose term, but compared to what they went through, I think because of the steps they went through, I'm able to walk into rooms and be like, well, if you don't like me, I'll leave. I'm not going to change.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Whereas they might have felt pressure to change so they can get the job.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you know, I just, yeah, it's a lot. Just little things like Angie Lamar, her first couple of jobs, she got paid food.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's like,
yes, I'll just divide
in
up
a
those.
Room full of people, yeah, who are paying for tickets, yeah, to get, yeah, paid food.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
One of her first gigs was in a rave, and they stopped the rave and said, some woman wants to be funny.
Oh, wow.
Do you know what I mean?
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, she still made them laugh because she's fucking hilarious. But
yeah,
it's just one of those things that.
Yeah.
So I feel very lucky that I wasn't a comic back then.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm. I mean, I'm so lucky.
I've
talked to Gina Yashere about how, yes, she went to America because she found in Britain, she found it was just too hard to make it as a black person.
Yeah.
There is another whole layer. I mean, we've got the woman thing, you know, but then there's that as well. Has that been, yeah, your experience as well?
Oh, definitely. I feel like as a black woman here, and, you know, this might offend some of them, but truth does. I feel like most black women here, and I say most because not all, most black women here, especially if they're on TV and they're comedians, they're there because they are laughed at for some reason. Does,
right,
that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So you've got like you're fat black, so you can laugh at the fat black.
Mm-hmm.
You can laugh at the fat lady doing fat lady stuff, like she can't walk in her heels, or you put her in really tight clothes, so we can all laugh at her, which isn't why she's there. And I'm sure that person's probably got loads of talent, but the talent that they pick up on is they make, instead of making you a comedian, they make you a clown. Does that make sense?
You are the butt of the joke.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, guys, everybody here has talent. We all have our own section of talent. We all have something that we all bring to the table. It doesn't have to be, we don't have to be clowns for it. We don't have to be, do you know what I mean? I find it so irritating that, you know, this one has, looks a little bit quirky, so we'll give her the job. Or this one is a little bit, why can't you just take a regular, normal, average person,
yeah,
and allow them to be in that space as well? You just won't find it.
Yeah, that's, it's really,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, for example, Michaela Coel will sit down and tell you all day that, you know, she felt ugly and she felt all these different things and she felt weird and quirky. And those are the things that she used to sell herself. And she got the job, right? But there's 100 Michaelas out there. We know Michaela is talented as shit.
Yeah. Mm.
Talented. So that shouldn't have been the thing you led with. However, that's the thing that you had to lead with, because that's the way in. I don't have a gimmick. I'm not going to be the new bald girl or the new, do you know what I mean? It's like Tanya Moore or nothing. For me, I'm comfortable in the idea that the journey might take a bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm comfortable with that.
Yeah.
But I'll sleep good at night. And
yeah,
I look at myself in the mirror.
At
no point will you ever find anything of me online that I'll be mad embarrassed by. I'll be embarrassed because maybe it was me 10 years ago, and me 10 years ago is different to today, right?
Oh my God.
But not because of the actual thing that I'm doing. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I don't like that. I think it's the hardest, weirdest, horriblest thing that you've got some people out here selling their souls just so they can get ahead. I would never.
No.
I'm keeping it.
Yeah, and it was interesting because, like, you write on your bio and you have said that you are, straddle between, there's the black comedy world and the mainstream or whatever comedy world, and you've invited me to you. I've done more comedy before, and that was incredible in that, in East London, it was fantastic. The nights that you ran there were brilliant. But can you tell, because maybe the listener doesn't really know, that there are why this is it.
Loads of us.
Yes, massive, and like selling out like the cap, like massive stadiums.
Yeah, see, yeah. We don't do small gigs.
No.
So you go to a mainstream gig and you can go to a pub and you've got an audience of 30.
Yeah.
A black promoter would not even entertain the idea
yeah.
of an audience of 30. Yeah. It's a minimum 250.
Oh.
So I think it's easier for us to transition to mainstream because we've had a hard audience. We've had a massive audience. We don't have open mic gigs. So you either go and be funny or you go and die. These yeah. are your options.
Yeah.
And you don't go and be funny in front of 30. You go and be funny in front of 250 to maybe 2,000
yeah.
or you die.
Yeah. That's how you learn. I've died in a room full of 12 people and that's yeah. one thing. But you can kind of get on the train and go, well, fuck it, those 12 people didn't right? like me, whatever. Yeah. 250 people, I mean, that's a democracy.
I'm offended that people like, we always laugh, us black comics, especially those of us in the mainstream, when people who run things like Live at the Apollo, they're like, yeah, but like, this audience is like 900 people. Babes, we do Indigo 2 regularly.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Yeah, that's 2,000.
We are 2, doing 2,000 plus on a weekend regularly. I've hosted Indigo 2. Shut up.
Yeah. yeah.
Like, are you joking? This yeah. is... It's so offensive. Like, just tell us the truth why you don't want us there.
Stop yeah.
giving us these silly ideas that we can't perform in front of lots of people.
Mm.
Babes, our audiences are worse than yours.
Mm.
Listen, if you're in front of black people and they're not happy, they're going to let you know they're not happy.
Mm.
They'll either tell you, or they're in the front row, they're on their phones, or they're talking to Keisha about what happened to Sharon last week. They don't care.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't care. With a white audience, there's still a little bit of support. It's like, okay, it wasn't good today, but try again. You don't get that love if it's black. They're like, babes, fuck off. Where's the comedy? I paid my money. I'm wearing my good suit.
We find that with like the London audiences compared to the outside of London audiences. Yeah. London audiences who we love,
yes,
but they very much will look at you and go, I could do 100 other things tonight.
Right.
You step up.
Yeah.
You make me laugh.
Like, babes, I used all of my hairspray. Do you understand what that means?
Like, so, yeah, I can't speak for Italy, obviously, but I always find it's just a lot more harder work. You're going, it's all right. We're like the comedy you might see on the telly. Or we're good enough. We are good enough for you.
Yes.
But then you go out of the regions and, like, the more north you get, God,
better.
Fucking lovely. And then they're just like, you came!
Literally, you walk in and you blink and like, oh, my God, you're so funny!
Oh my God, I love you, the North.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Just the best.
And the South. Do you remember Falmouth? We did a show in
Falmouth.
Oh my
God, yes.
In a theatre, I think.
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah, theatre. Lovely theatre.
Sold out, nice gig. In the three rows from the front after the show, someone had been sick and just left it. So there's
ladies.
Just vomit. Meanwhile, in the back row, there was a fucking punch-up.
No.
So,
oh, they know. Live large down there.
My yeah. kind of gig, man. I love gigging in Wales as well.
Oh,
I love
Wales is awesome.
Yeah, yeah, Cardiff's up for it.
Oh,
yeah.
Love it. I love them down there.
You're making me sad. I want to get back.
I know,
on the road.
I know.
But you've done a bit of Mot the Week.
Yeah.
Oh, how are you feeling, man? That's a big deal, right?
Massive. Yeah. I mean, so
Mot the Week for our international listeners is like it's like the premier stand-up show.
Yes.
You have like 6 comedians on either side and you've got to write jokes.
Yeah.
There's a panel element and then there's like a stand-up battle-off, basically.
Yes.
And you get a topic.
Yeah.
And then you've got to do your jokes.
Yes.
Fucking, that's a big deal,
it's
man.
It's massive.
Yeah.
And they only give you the stuff like a few days beforehand.
Yeah.
Which is wild.
Yeah.
So,
no, if you've seen Tanya on stage, you'll know. But you come out and you're just full of this amazing energy.
Thank you.
You're funny and you already love you before you've even opened your mouth.
Awesome.
And that's what I love about you. Like, and that's what you want in a stand-up. You're a joy to watch. You exude this sort of positivity and joy and cheekiness.
We're not jealous, are we? We're not remotely jealous.
I'll tell you this now.
I'm just refreshing my email now.
It's not even me. I'm going to say on this one, it's my agent, definitely. I got this job, no audition.
Wow.
That's how awesome she is.
Awesome.
Do you know what I mean?
What did she do?
We've all seen the Fire documentary at the Fire Festival.
Whatever she's doing, do it some more all over the place.
I need some tips from her.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
And are you disappointed that you didn't get to do Edinburgh this year? Because we saw that we were up there last year, weren't we?
Yeah.
All together?
Yeah, a little bit, because I wanted my debut to be out of the way. I just wanted it to be over with. No,
so you did half an hour last year, and yeah. So for new comedians, their debut is when they do one full hour, is
it? Because your half hour that you did last year was called Bully, and it was about you being a bully, wasn't it? Which I thought, yes, because most comedians have been fucking bullied. We've all heard
that. We're all sad. We're all fucking sad stories. But like, so tell us about why you wanted to write about that particularly.
I wanted to write. So initially, the idea was to focus on the word bully and how we use it and what it means and how we could probably change the word. When we're talking about naughty kids. And then it advanced into talking about me being the bully and how that's now impacted my adult life, like what that means and how I navigate myself in situations now. And at this point, it's just about, we've gone back to focusing on the word bully and how it's used and what you do to bullies. Like, because most children, when they're called bullies, we don't think, why is this child now behaving like this? No child wakes up a bully. This is all stuff that they're dealing with and going with and not being able to process, right? So we need to figure out how to handle these moments properly, because there's so many organizations, when I was doing my research, there's lots of charities that help people who have been bullied, but no one's focusing on the bully itself. Like, no one's focusing on that person. What are they going through? Why is a child, why is somebody who's single digits in age coming in with this kind of energy? Do you know what I mean? No one stops to think, hold on a minute, this isn't normal, because we're so busy focusing on the child with tears, which, don't get me wrong, let's not ignore them.
No, I don't think anyone's saying that.
If we don't figure this problem out, this child is going to stop bullying that child, but guess what? It's going to move on to that child, because the problem hasn't been fixed. Do you know what I mean? So I want to figure out how we can, just talk about that in a better way, help these people better, so they're not going up to like adult life and figuring out, oh, maybe I shouldn't do that no more. Do you know what I mean? There's no need for you to go through so much of life with all of these jackets or bags on top of you that shouldn't even be yours, you know?
Or that you've nicked off other smaller children.
Right? Right? I mean, someone needs to pay for my lunch. But no, it was. That's what I want to really just highlight that and talk about that and just figure that out.
But how do you sort of reflect on that? Because, like, I was bullied. We've talked about that on the podcast, and Ellie was bullied as well. And there are times where I kind of want to ring up the girl who did it and, like, just have a chat going, look, we're cool now. And I get, you know, you were going through a hard time and all that sort of stuff, and it's okay. Like,
after university, I actually messaged people who I felt like I was really bad to in school and just kind of sent them a letter, well, not a letter, a message on Facebook, just saying, like, listen, I was a shit back then, so I want to apologise. Yeah. And most of them have taken the message, and, you know, it's been a great response. Some of them I'm now friends with. Two of them wish me death.
50-50.
I mean, fair. I mean, that was a shit. Like, one of them, I was like, do you know what? From him, fair. The other one, I'm like, babe, you're doing too much. Go over it. And it's not for me to determine, what her emotion should or shouldn't be.
Right, that's where she is. That's where she is.
Exactly. Yeah, but for this guy, so this guy was like obsessed with me in secondary school and like really wanted to be my boyfriend. He kept sending me like every day he'd bring in chocolates or write me letters and stuff. And I'm like, babe.
That's a lot.
A lot, right?
That's a lot.
But he's gay.
Right.
What are you saying? You made him gay, Tanya?
No, I wish I did. I wish that was the case. I wish I had those powers. But even in school, we knew he was gay.
Right.
So I kept being like, yeah, but you're gay. You're gay, you're gay. And I feel like I outed him before he was ready to accept it. Okay. Before, do you see what I mean? So for him, I'm like, do you know what? Now I know better, definitely.
Mm.
You can hate me forever, sir.
Yeah.
And I'll continue to just try and be your friend because fair.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not ready, then it's not my job to have that moment.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, my broad shoulders does not mean I should be a beard. However, I just think it wasn't my place.
No.
To do that. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah.
So for him, I'm definitely like, do you know what? I will go and die in peace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But her? Are you joking? I called you names. You called me names. What?
But to be Tanya, you did write her a letter of apology. You must have done
something. Exactly!
She's the good guy in this, Ellie.
And she told me to die. Oh, man.
Oh,
she must be well pissed now. I can't even fucking go cinema without seeing me pop up.
She'll never drink fucking tango
ever again.
She spits in it. Maltesers. Just to pour it down the sink.
Yeah.
Yeah. Screw you,
she
Tanya.
She sits at home crushing Maltesers in her hands one by
literally.
One. But yes, and just going back to about that guy who was gay. Yeah, I agree with what you've said. And you're saying you shouldn't have asked him.
It wasn't my place.
You acknowledge that.
No. Yeah.
But also, in your defence, if I were your lawyer, I would say also you were a child.
Yes.
And you didn't. No, you didn't fully comprehend why that was such a bad thing to
no,
do, right?
I didn't.
So there are mitigating.
Yeah.
And I guess I'm saying not related to that specifically, but when you look at that as a whole, that period of your life, what could the adults around you have done to change
and
the
so
way
this
things
is what
were?
I talk about in there, because I come from a Jamaican background. Children should be seen and not heard. That's a very real thing. So I wasn't getting the conversations that I was supposed to have as a child.
Mm.
There's a lot that I had to learn in uni and post uni to really figure out, oh shit, no, oh, that wasn't funny. Oh, okay, shit then.
Mm.
Oh man, do you know what I mean? Because at times when you're in school and you're making jokes, even if it's at the expense of someone else, to you it's just a joke. You don't realise that person carries that and takes it home and it becomes a scar for them. You don't realise that until after the fact. In the moment, you're just making everybody laugh.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
You're a class clown. And class clowns scar. And you don't realise that until after the fact. Do you know? So you spend all day saying something horrible to somebody. To you, it's just words. I'm not punching you. You're not bleeding.
No.
That's the worst thing you can
say.
No,
the bruises
and it's
will
the
heal.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
But you don't realise that if that's not being explained to you in the moment.
Yeah.
And then also, because at that time, if I did make a child cry, there wasn't no sitting down and saying, Tanya, this is why you shouldn't do it. It was, Tanya, have detention, go home, see you tomorrow. Do you see what I mean?
Mm.
There was no, this is why it's bad.
Yeah.
And so was you don't there learn. Was there any, okay, Tanya, yeah, like you've just said, that's bad. But also, what's going on with you? What's going on with you?
Nothing.
Right.
It was have detention, go home. So then what happens is you're in detention being more pissed off by this person.
Of course.
Because they put you here. So guess what happens tomorrow? They get it again.
Yeah, yeah.
And no one's, do you know what I mean? There's no, and so I want to highlight this as a thing, that some children don't have households where you have like 2.4. You don't have a mum who's home all day. My mum had 3 jobs and she was a single parent. So keeping us alive and a roof over our heads and clothes on our backs
Absolutely.
Was more important than anything
She's
else.
A fucking superhero.
I was very fucking lucky to be able to do things like go on school trips and, you know, I never missed out.
Mm.
But I missed out on like crucial things I realised, like conversations and hugs and quality time. These are things that obviously I really needed to hear.
Mm.
So these are things that I want to talk about in my show to highlight. Let's not make children villains. That's not smart.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Children can't be villains.
No.
So let's show them where, you know, there's lots of children out there that unfortunately, you know, parents don't have time. You can't be an at-home parent anymore. Not now.
And that's not because the parents aren't doing the best they can. That's precisely because the parents are doing the best they can.
Exactly.
To make sure the child has shoes and, you
exactly.
know.
Exactly. Society means that parents have to go to work now. You can't have a stay-at-home mum unless your dad's earning figures and figures and figures, right?
Mm. Yeah.
So these are things. Parents, you know, we're all human. Parents are going to miss some hole somewhere. There's going to be something where the ball drops somewhere because you're juggling so many.
Yeah.
Right? Mm. So we need to make sure that there's a community that says, okay, she dropped the ball there. Let me help her out. Instead of condemning. How do you make children villains? That's the bit to me. You can't. No,
absolutely. And my son had some bullying at school.
Yeah.
And I emailed the teacher straight away. And she was amazing. She was really gorgeous. And she said the next day she got my son and the bully to sit down.
Mm.
And you know, the bully didn't realise he had hurt.
The impact.
His feelings, and he started crying when Hugo explained the words that you said to me hurt my feelings, and he cried, and then Hugo didn't realize he was sad, and then they just worked it out. They worked it out and talked about it, and then Hugo felt empathy with the bully,
yes,
because the bully hadn't understood that that had made him sad.
Horrible,
and that might have been part of play or whatever.
Yeah,
so it was a really kind of I just thought, God, the teacher. I just kept writing back, going, I think you're awesome, and all that sort of stuff. But it wasn't like, oh, bad, good.
Yeah.
It was like, this is a situation, and let's sort of unpack it.
Yeah.
And it was a really kind of thing. But, yeah, I grew up being really badly bullied, and it was very binary. It was like, you're bad, you're good.
Let's
tie it in a bow, and then and then the next day we're all meant to start again. But it doesn't work like that, because both the bully and the victim or whatever is carrying something from
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Big and time. It was big for me because my niece was being bullied.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my God. I wish I was the same age as her right now.
all those feelings take you
it really
exactly
does.
Back
yeah.
to those
so
things.
So my sister's argument was, oh, my God, I hate this child, blah, blah. But instantly I was like, something's happening with this child.
Yeah.
Let's go and talk to her mum, because a child of 8 years old does not come in and start punching other children without there being a punch that she's received already. We went to the meeting, I went with my sister, and my sister, who hasn't been bullied or been a bully, was very much, I'm upset because she's a mum and her child's upset, right?
Hyper-protective, yeah.
I was very much, you know, my family didn't understand it at first, but I was very much like, so let's talk about what's happening in this child's home. Because we need to figure out why she's punching my niece.
Yeah.
Doing this and telling her she's bad is not going to stop her from punching my niece. It's not.
No.
It's going to make her more angry at my niece, because now we've got this whole big meeting.
Yeah.
And it's about you. And it's embarrassing, and there's a highlight on you, and you don't like it.
Mm.
Right? I know this feeling.
Yeah.
So in the meeting, I was very much like, I just want to talk about what's happening at home, why she thinks going into school and punching other children is normal.
Yeah.
That's the conversation I want to have.
Mm.
We'll do with Tia later. Tia's loved. We'll do with her later. Let's deal with why this is happening.
Mm.
Turns out, mum and dad are having fights. This is what she's normally seeing, right? Mm. It took mum a long time to get there, but that's what transpired. So now we understand where this is coming from. Okay, fine. Now let's figure out how to handle this kid so she stops punching other children.
Mm.
That's what we need to do.
Mm.
Tia's loved.
Yeah,
she's got one problem in all of her day. This little girl. We can handle that. And Tia, bless her cottons, sometimes she wouldn't tell us because she felt really bad for the girl.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Tia's a good girl. She's fine. She will get this sorted. Now her and the girl are friends. Wonderful.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But I think we need to start focusing on, where does this come from?
Yeah.
What is this?
And I think, again, as a child, you don't always know that other people have got different lives to you, because you're
exactly.
a child. You're an idiot. Most children are idiots.
Oh, they're incredibly selfish. Their world is so narrow. Right.
And your routine that your parents set up for you is your routine that you think everyone has in life.
Yeah.
It's not until you go out into the world and explore later on that you realise, oh, no, not everyone's household is like this.
You don't really have a concept of privilege necessarily, or what, you know, what you've got going for you. And then you just sort of assume that everybody else is like that. I mean, just like the other day, my son is 9, and I was quite shocked the other day. We were talking about clearing out some toys for Christmas, and he was like, oh, I want to sell them. I was like, we're not selling them, because we're very lucky that you're going to get new toys, and we can afford to give them away to, you know, kids who perhaps don't have as many toys or don't have any toys. And he went, everyone's got toys. And I was like, no, they don't, dude. Yeah. No, they don't. And he went, well, in this country they do. And I was like,
we need to sit down and have
a very long talk, probably with slides.
Yeah.
There's going to be some videos. There's going to be pie charts. There's going to be stats.
Yeah.
And,
just a
you know,
picture of Boris Johnson's face across through it.
And you know, and he knows about the Marcus Rashford thing. He's into all that. He gets all that. And I was like, so think about that. And then if people can't afford to eat, where do you think they're getting their copy of FIFA 21? Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Getting a switch.
Oh, and I was like, yeah.
Literally. My niece thinks I've got loads of money, and that's my fault, because every now and again.
You did do a tango advert, Tanya.
Yeah.
I mean, let's not talk about that. But you know, every now and again, I take her out, I take her to the toy shop, I give her a budget, and I'm like, you go crazy. And on the calculator, you put that in the bucket, that's how much you got left. Right? That's it.
Yeah.
She goes mad. So now what's happening is she's eight. She's got a little brother who's two. And he's like, Mom, can I have? Mom be like, no. She'll be like, don't worry, auntie will get it. She's got money.
Ooh.
Right?
Danger, danger.
Right? So now I'm like,
oh, auntie ATM.
Damn it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I better have a kid quickly so I can say to her, look, I've got my own responsibilities now.
Just ask Auntie Tanya, you'll get the new Playmobil.
It's listen, right. Yeah. She really does. She really, she's like, auntie, don't worry about it. Just get your bank card. Lady,
yeah, and it's I'll be honest to say, my kids have got, they understand Amazon now, because we use it quite a lot for the show to buy things. Like, oh, we run out of bin bags, just order some more, whatever. Do you know what I mean? It's just a thing. So they've got, in my 5-year-old's like, oh, mummy, I want this toy. Oh, well, you can put it on your birthday list, you can put it on your Christmas list. And he's like, but we can just order it. We can just order it. I'm like, no.
They don't understand. Bin bags are $3.99, Maggie. I can order them at will. Yeah. What I can't order is a Lego for $79.99 at will.
And also
can't
you don't do that. Need it. And I need to buy bin bags. Like,
The cat needs feeding. Like, we're ordering Amazon cat food because that comes the next day because mummy can't go to the supermarket. Yeah. So that is fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't get it.
But they're, the immediacy of that.
Yeah.
So I just remember waiting months and months and months and months for a Cabbage Patch doll. Yeah. Babe!
I thought I was the only one who had a Cabbage Patch doll!
Wait a minute, bitches. You had Cabbage Patch dolls?
Yes!
Fuck you! Fuck you!
It was fake!
It was too expensive! You couldn't have one. You could actually fucking have one.
I got a fake one from the market because my parents.
Two. Fuck you, Tanya! Get out of my fucking house.
Fancy. It's Joyce. It's not me. It's Joyce.
You want to talk about privilege? The fuck don't come at me.
She had two certificates, Ellie.
My mum had three jobs, damn it. I should have had three Cabbage Patch dolls.
Oh, that stings. That stings.
I wish my mother had 10 jobs if it meant I should have a Cabbage Patch doll.
I gave one to my cousin because her mum wouldn't buy her one. So... Yeah. I had one and she had one.
Oh, I know. See, you were a good kid.
Oh, I was a good kid. There just were some shitty moments.
Oh,
my God. Oh, that's it.
I knew I was a good kid because I was always invited out. You know, naughty kids don't get invited anywhere.
No, exactly.
But I was always invited out. But I had some really shitty moments. And I definitely, at this age, I know that they were in correlation to being told off or, you know, not getting what I want or, you know, all that kind of stuff. Having questions, not having them answered, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But it doesn't make it okay.
But
there's the reason behind it.
And I was just making a joke. I'm not betraying that I've missed your point. I understand that you're saying there isn't such a thing as a good kid and there isn't such a thing as a bad kid. There are kids who do shit things sometimes, like humans.
Yeah.
You know?
And kids test boundaries. So as they grow, what they're going to see is how far they can go. Right?
We had a child, a psychotherapist on the podcast the other day called Anna Mather, and she said, there's a great theory is that when you hop into a roller coaster, the cage comes down, like the straps go on, and what's the first thing you do? You shake it.
To check it.
You shake it to check it. Is this safe enough? What are my boundaries? And it was such a brilliant kind of analogy to children, because that's what they do. They just shake the cage a bit, and they're like... What can I do?
Yeah.
What can I get away with? Yeah. And I think that's, that really spoke to me because I think that's it. You kind of think, is that going to make my mum and dad really cross? Will the threat of the wooden spoon come? There's always a threat.
I have that moment though. Especially when I'm going to be on TV or something, I'm like, don't do anything that's going to embarrass Joyce. Don't.
Really?
Yeah. Because she's still very old school. She's still, you know, even if I write a status, she'll be like, Tanya, so-and-so rang me and said...
From your Facebook?
I'm an adult! I can write what the fuck I want!
I've had some complaints that this podcast is too sweary. Fuck off!
Yes! Fuck you! She's like, did you have to write that? Yeah, that's how I felt in a moment, Joyce! You know what I mean?
It's my Facebook, it's my words!
Tell her to come off my Facebook, whoever she is!
We still have the little child. We still have the inner child, all that stuff. There is something about us that, you know, not all of us, but it is nice to seek approval or feel approved.
Yes.
From your peers or your mum and dad. Yeah. And it really, you know, it does help when someone says, I'm really proud of you.
Exactly.
You did a post the other day on my dad. Facebook saying, what was it you said your dad said?
He called me and he said, you are my heart because you're exactly who I wanted to be.
Oh,
I'm so proud of you. God. I know.
Oh,
I know. I was like, then I got off the phone. Bye. I know.
But that really got me.
I didn't care about it, but it was massive to me.
Yeah. Because I'm very close with my dad. He was our Rosie before the corona and all of that. And like, and he used to be a comedian. So like, what I love is he's so supportive of me and you, isn't he?
Yeah, he's beautiful.
He loves watching us. And he likes to give us some constructive criticism, which is fine because he actually does know what he's talking about.
If we're at a gig, my dad will give you...
For tips free. I mean,
on not... how to be better.
Yeah. And we don't even
and
ask
what's
for
embarrassing
it.
Is he's like, you know, because you do that, but Tanya, she's really good at it. Let me tell you what she does. Noel, leave them alone.
Oh. He's your brass band.
He really is, though.
He's your fanfare.
He really is.
Which is beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was nice.
Yeah. And
my mum's more quiet with it, but I know she's proud because her friends would be like, your mum won't stop talking about you. I'm like, really? Can she talk to me about it? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mum's that way. She just isn't.
Well, maybe, you know, when your Mock the Week episode comes out, perhaps she'll buy you another Cabbage Patch doll. I don't fucking know.
I feel like I'm going to go to my cousins, get hers and give it to you.
I don't want it now. But did you have a Care Bear?
I've moved on.
I had loads of Care Bears.
Oh, sorry.
I had a Care Bear.
I had one Care Bear.
I had none. Wait, hold on.
One Care Bear. Fuck's sake.
Yeah, Jesus. But you probably were hugged and spoken to. Does that help?
That's not what I wanted, Taylor. That's not what I was asking for.
But you didn't bully nobody as a result.
No, that's...
What do you want, Helen?
That's the other one.
Oh, shit, wait.
Oh,
wait.
Fuck you, we all are the same to you. No,
wait.
We all are the same to you.
I mean, there's that. Fucking hell.
Fuck you, Helen.
Should have stayed in the fucking water.
7.5 years and she doesn't know your name.
Listen.
That's all right.
You it's can, the opposite of Cheers.
It's terrible. Don't worry. Let's just calm down. Later on, you can write me a message about this and I'll tell you to fucking die. So it'll be fine. It'll be fine. Now, Tanya, we usually end the podcast with scummy mummy confessions. I know you're not a mummy, but we will accept scummy auntie confessions. Oh, here she goes. Or you can just tell a story about your sister being a terrible mother. It's up to you.
I wish I could. My kids are awesome.
Aww.
She's putting me under pressure. I haven't even started yet. So I live in a room, a flat share. So when my niece and nephew come and stay with me, they have to stay in the room with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I've definitely put my niece to bed and had a smoke out the window.
Old school.
Excellent.
Proper, like...
Yeah.
Like, really trying for it not to get back in the room.
I always put the curtain behind me if I smoke in my room. Like, dark times when I was just fresh out of my separation, when I, you know, first found out about everything.
Yeah.
I'd be like, I don't want to go outside because I'm too sad.
Yeah.
I'm going to smoke my fag. And I put the curtain behind my head.
Yeah.
Like, lint, almost in a dangerous manner.
Yeah.
And smoked out the window.
I literally sit on the ledge.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes, like, let's say it's, I mean, they can't see on the podcast, but let's say I'm sitting on the ledge here.
Like she's a right bay there. Window, yeah.
She's right there.
All right, she's right next to the window.
She's inhaling all of it.
But she's asleep, so it doesn't count. Yeah,
hopefully it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Also,
because when you sleep, it's
she's
different.
Deaf and she has cochleas.
Okay, yeah.
So she puts them on in the morning after.
It's like hearing aids.
Hearing aids, yeah. The ones that you like, you stick them on and they've got like the bit inside.
They were invented in Australia, Tanya.
Were they?
Fascinating facts.
Oh my God, I think they're the best thing. She's got these new ones now and they've got Bluetooth on them. So she could talk on
the
phone and stuff.
She gets Spotify in there. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah, she's having the best time of her life. She's also really cheeky because when you get on the nerve, she turns them off.
Oh.
She's there now.
Smart
she's
girl.
Like, grandma, you're talking too much.
Right. Very
well, I hit them once.
You hit them? Why?
Yeah.
You hit her hearing.
Because I wanted to have a really intense phone call and it's none of her business.
So you hit, to be clear, you hit a child's hearing aids.
I hit her ears.
Tanya, I think you're ready to be a mum.
I think so.
If that something you want to do?
Because kids will listen and then go and chat your business. And I'm like, listen, I'm not ready for her. Let me put them in my pocket real quick. Oh. And she was like, auntie, where am I? I was like, I don't know. I'll find them. You just go and play.
10 to 15.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's definitely the best scummy auntie confession we've ever had.
Yeah. Man.
To hide a deaf child's equipment is really up there, Tanya. Well done.
That's it, nailed everyone's it. Done it.
She loves you so much.
She does.
Oh, bless tears.
What was that confession we had once at the show about a woman who, she has a child who is fed through a feeding bag?
Yes. Oh, this was the winning confession at Christmas in Colchester last year.
Yeah. Okay.
And she said every year she goes to Glastonbury and she sneaks in her booze with her child's feeding bags, and she has 1 litre of vodka and 1 litre of gin, and she straps it to her own stomach so she doesn't have to pay for booze.
I love her.
Yeah, she's amazing. Yeah. And she won.
I love her.
650 people in the audience in Colchester, and she was our number one mummy, and we were like, fucking yes.
Love
own
her.
Own it.
There we go. So where can people follow you, Tanya? What do you want to
follow me on my social media? I don't know what the world's going to bring.
Please spell your name.
Oh my god, my dad's a dickhead. It's T-H, don't rewind it, you heard it right. T-H-A-N-Y-I-A. Don't put the Y first. Then put the Y second. I know it makes sense when you look at it for it to be Tanya, but that's not what it is. Just blame Noel. Yes, his name's Noel.
You've all got fucked up names.
A-N-Y-I-A. Here's the best bit. Brother's name's Eli.
Eli.
Three letters.
Yeah, of course.
That's it.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah.
Fuck's sake.
Oh. If it helps, my dad, my name is actually Ellen on my birth certificate. Although you know me as Ellie. I've always known me as Ellie.
Ellie.
And it was always supposed to be whoever. Ellie. Yeah, Ellen / Ellie, that's right.
We'll go by any name, actually. Yeah.
The Australian one and the other one. That's usually what we get.
I was going to go the smart one, the fat one, but you know.
No. I didn't like to say. but my name is only Ellen on my birth certificate because my dad went to register my birth, Peckham Registry Office, and he forgot that he just wrote the wrong name down by mistake, like an admin error. It's a clerical error, my name. So,
what a nice way to end.
We must end it, sadly. All right. Thank you very much for listening.
No, thank you.
If you're still there.
Yes, you are still with us. If you want to give us a review on the iTunes, that would be lovely.
Rate, review, and subscribe to Scummy Mummies. And hopefully we'll all be gigging next year, Tanya.
Oh, you are lovely, Tanya Moore. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
I appreciate you. Thank you for inviting me.
You're welcome. Now, get out of my house with your Cabbage Patch Dolls. Until next time. Bye-bye.
Yes, good time.
I'm clapping. We're clapping ourselves.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping
and 365-day returns.